Fangoria Presents The Narrow Caves is brought to you by Shudder. Shudder is the Netflix for horror, where you can stream great thrillers, horror, and suspense for $4.99 a month or just $49.99 for the entire year. I watched a few Stephen King movies on Shudder this weekend, including Pet Sematary, Cujo, and Salem's Lot. I'm also pretty excited to watch some Alfred Hitchcock films that I haven't seen. They have all types of movies and series, from the classics to modern favorites, and even some originals too, like A Discovery of Witches that hit Shudder on January 17th. And they add new shows and films weekly. To try Shudder for free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. That's Shudder.com. Promo code CAVES. The following contains explicit and sexual content. Listener discretion is advised. Previously on The Narrow Caves.
Hey there.
Leave me alone.
What are you reading?
I'm not interested in having a conversation.
There's a desirable outback girl who lives here, but I was dismissed from her vicinity. Can I borrow this?
For how long?
24 hours.
Yeah, I remember having a couple of dreams about her. There's this one, she and I are sitting on a tall green hill.
This seems more sad than romantic.
It's both.
Moonlight shines upon the white fan that oscillates on a desk in a room that contains Walter, his record and book collections, a stereo, and some heaps of dirty clothes. Ruminating, the lanky fellow stares at the ceiling. Footfalls sound in the hallway outside, and a knob turns. Walter looks at the door. Standing in the hallway is a silhouetted woman. A candle appears in her hand and shines light upon her bare chest. Below her right breast is a purple birthmark that is shaped like a kidney bean.
Ruby?
Fangoria presents The Narrow Caves. Written by S. Craig Zoller. Directed by Keith Reynolds. Starring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator.
Chapter 2.
Walter startles himself awake in the previously described bedroom and looks at the door, which is now closed. His chest is covered with sweat, and his erection presses against his boxer shorts. Aroused, the lanky fellow snatches a couple of paper tissues from his nightstand, lies back down, and shuts his eyes. The sun glares on the horizon. Wearing a brown turtleneck and blue jeans, Walter drives along a modestly populated country road. His hair is slicked back neatly, and his cheeks shine from his recent shave. The lanky fellow looks nervous. Walter pulls his station wagon into the driveway of the beige house where he attended the party during the previous evening. Beer cans gleam like oblong stars upon the weedy front lawn. The lanky fellow stops his vehicle, inhales deeply, and steps out of his car. Determined to appear nonchalant, he walks to the front door at a slow pace, stops, and knocks twice.
Someone get the door! Ruby, can you get it? I'm not fixed up yet. Who is it?
My name is Walter. I was at the party last night.
Yes?
I left something behind.
Quiet footfalls sound within the house. The door opens to reveal Ruby, whose dark hair is pulled up from her pale face and who wears dark jeans and a thin charcoal sweater.
Hi.
Suspicious, Ruby appraises Walter but says nothing.
I'm sorry to bother you again, but I'm pretty sure I left a record here last night.
Might you remember where you left it?
Not certain. Can I have a look around? I'll be quick.
Ruby steps aside and gestures into the living room.
Thank you.
The living room has been partly cleaned up since the previous night. Walter walks behind Ruby and thinks about how he should proceed. The pale woman turns away and pulls a heavy, bloated bag of garbage from a pail.
Can I help you with that?
Find your record.
Rebuffed, the lanky fella turns away and pretends to inspect the nearby bookshelves.
What were you reading last night?
A book.
What's it about?
Men who mind their own business.
You don't have to be obtuse.
You shouldn't pry.
I'm just curious.
Why?
Walter ponders whether or not he should divulge his motivations to Ruby. Soon he makes his decision.
I had an anthropology course with you 2 years ago. You ask such intelligent questions. It seems so different from everybody else. From anybody I'd ever met. I wanted to talk to you. But I never seemed to find the right moment.
I remember the course, but I don't remember you.
I'm sure you don't. When I saw you again last night, away from everyone else, I remembered...
Look, Walter, I'm not interested in seeing anybody, okay?
Disheartened, Walter nods.
Especially me.
You're forward.
I'm not usually this aggressive. Actually, I've never been like this before in my life. I just think...
Did you actually leave something here?
Frustrated with the entire situation, the lanky fella turns around and hastens through an open doorway. Walter strides into the den past a roommate who wears tie-dye clothing and toward the television. Following after him and visibly annoyed is Ruby. The lanky fella reaches the pile, withdraws the borrowed record, and looks the pale woman straight in the eye.
I apologize for being interested in you.
Walter departs from the den. His footfalls sound in the other room as the roommate eyes Ruby. Conflicting emotions play upon the face of the pale woman. Feeling more than a little foolish, Walter backs his car out of the driveway, reaches the road, and drives away. The rebuffed young man does not look back. The lanky fellow enters the common room of the shared apartment. Newspapers, pizza boxes, soda cans, beer cans, and some unidentifiable things show that none of the roommates clean. A lumpy sofa that is covered by a stained plaid sheet is the slovenly centerpiece. Eyeing this unwieldy mess, Walter frowns. Jason enters the room wearing only shorts and flip-flops while nibbling on a cold piece of pizza.
This place is a disaster.
Sure is.
Have you ever thought about cleaning it?
I've thought about you cleaning it.
Jason tosses his pizza crust on top of a pile of newspapers. Walter looks at the crust with distaste.
Okay. Might want to get a garbage can.
Why do you care all of a sudden?
We're getting older, more mature, and...
No need to finish that thought. You gonna make it to Connolly's for trivia night?
I wish there were more foxes in attendance, and by that I mean any. But sure, it's fun. Especially when there's questions about literature.
Those get the crowd going.
Jason plops down on the couch, grabs the remote control, and turns on the television.
And recently investigating a number of fatal cases of food poisoning in Germany and Poland that have baffled...
Well, I am rather busy. Mac, why do you...
God bless Uzis.
Oh, man.
Walter watches some television people yell, grab their perforated bellies, and fall over. On the screen, fresh clips are slotted into Uzi handles.
Anthony and I are thinking about going on another camping trip at the end of the semester.
I'm in as long as it doesn't bring any of that canned duck.
Turning away from the television, Walter sees a piece of yellow paper that is stuck to his door. His eyes scan the note, and a puzzled smile brightens his face. At present, he walks over to the adjacent bedroom and knocks.
Sleeping.
When did she call?
On the 5th.
It is the next day. Wearing blue jeans and a maroon shirt, Walter guides his station wagon across the crackling gravel driveway and toward the front door of the beige house. His right foot presses the brake and the car stops. The lanky fellow breathes deeply in an effort to calm himself. At present, he exits the car, shuts the door, and walks towards the front of the house. He gains more confidence with every step. Stopping on the porch, he knocks. Standing opposite Walter is Ruby, now wearing a formal black dress and matching heels.
Was there a death?
I'll change.
The dim interior of the Chinese restaurant is sporadically illuminated by hanging red and green paper lanterns. Nearly half of the tables of this restaurant are occupied. Ruby, now in a skirt and an opalescent blouse, and Walter sit at a jade-colored booth. The pale woman claims the remaining half of a spring roll between her chopsticks and dips its closed end in duck sauce.
I won't think less of you if you use your hands. The Chinese do.
I don't want my fingers to get sticky.
I'll refrain from following up that comment with any innuendo.
The pale woman bites into the spring roll, which crunches, as the lanky fellow eats a crispy piece of shrimp toast.
I didn't know that anybody actually ordered shrimp toast.
Want a slice?
No, thanks.
Chicken.
Do you usually harass the woman whom you invite to dinner?
Only when I'm nervous. Though thanks for implying that I go out on a lot of dates. Besides, you started it.
I wasn't aware that your shrimp toast was sensitive.
You were the exact opposite of friendly during our first two encounters.
Then why are you taking me out to dinner?
Vengeance. So I need to ask you something. What changed your mind?
The pale woman crunches into another spring roll, eyes the lanky fellow, and lowers her gaze as she chews. It is clear that she is trying to compose a suitable answer. Walter waits and watches while Ruby swallows the bite and reaches for her water.
People usually stall when they're making stuff up.
I wasn't stalling, I was chewing.
What changed your mind? Why'd you track me down?
It wasn't very complicated. My roommate knows Jason and gave me the number.
But why?
You have a better vocabulary than most people whom I've met out here. I thought I might learn a couple of new words.
Besides my undeniable abilities as a linguist.
Your plan to meet me was adorable.
It was not adorable. It was ingenious. That's the main reason. What?
After you left my house, I finished cleaning, took a nap, and had a dream. You and I were in it together, sitting on an immense green hill.
The description of this familiar tableau momentarily unsettles the lanky fellow.
It's hard to explain, but things felt very serene and comfortable.
Was there music?
The pale woman wrinkles her brow for a puzzled moment and then ruminates.
There might have been. Why'd you ask me that?
Walter contemplates speaking his own mind.
What?
I had some dreams like that, too.
Yesterday?
No. After I first saw you in that anthropology class.
That's a pretty big coincidence.
Should I conclude from that remark that you're not a believer in fate?
Fate is a nice idea. But it seems more like a human invention than an actual thing that might exist. I don't think that the universe cares all that much about dating.
So, what's your major?
Do you believe in fate?
I'm not sure. But I want to.
That's sweet.
A gentle wind whistles across the Florida night. Moonlight shines upon Walter and Ruby, who are currently sharing the hammock in the backyard. 3 inches of space separate their reclining bodies. The lanky fellow is drinking a beer, and the pale woman cradles a glass of red wine in her left hand as she inhales the mild breeze.
I really like your cologne.
Thanks. But I'm not wearing any.
Then give my compliments to your epidermis.
It's listening.
In the enclosed patio, a freckled roommate climbs from the pool, wraps a towel about her body, and opens the sliding glass door, which scrapes along its difficult runner.
Do you like your roommates?
They're pleasant enough. But we just don't have all that much in common.
The freckled roommate closes the sliding door and pulls the phone receiver from the kitchen wall.
I'd rather develop my own interests than acquire them secondhand from some guy like they do.
Independence is a very appealing characteristic in a woman.
Most guys who say that don't actually mean it.
I mean it.
I believe that you do.
For a moment, the slightly buzzed hammock inhabitants look at each other. Heavy gazes are relocated to drinks, which are then politely sipped.
Is there a reason that I haven't seen you around since anthropology? Campus isn't that vast.
Ruby returns her gaze to her wine glass, which is nearly empty. Her face grows heavy as she ruminates.
You don't have to tell me if you don't.
My mom died.
Oh. Sorry to hear that.
It took some time off to deal with things.
Was it unexpected?
She'd been dealing with health problems for a while, though nobody knew exactly what was wrong. We still don't.
Sorry for bringing it up.
It's fine. You're just getting to know me. Not everything in my life is sunshine and lilies.
I lost my father when I was young. Really young.
It must have been difficult.
Well, I didn't understand what had happened at the time, and I kept thinking he would come home one day. Especially around the holidays for my birthday. When I finally understood that he was dead, what that actually meant had been years.
Ruby takes Walter's free hand and squeezes.
Well, my main memories of him are of us watching wrestling on television. There was this fat Arab with a turban, gold bracelets, threatened to destroy America before every match. It scared the hell out of me. Gave me nightmares. But I never really understood how he could destroy our country with wrestling.
I bet that you looked adorable back then.
Maybe. I don't know.
And you're pretty cute right now.
Walter faces Ruby, places his arm around her shoulders, and leans forward. Two sets of eyes close. They kiss. Mouths open wider and bodies press together. Ruby gently pulls away and rises from the hammock. Walter sways in the suspended netting and sets his shoes upon the ground to stop his pendulous swinging. The lanky fellow stands upright and eyes the pale woman. Ruby takes Walter's hand and leads him toward the patio.
Leave your beer in the kitchen and your shoes in the hall.
A lamp brightens as Ruby and Walter enter the bedroom. The pale woman closes the door, thumbs the lock, and leads her barefoot guest by his hand past an antique vanity, a matching desk, a music stand, a violin case, and two filled bookshelves which are of polished oak.
You smell incredible.
Arriving at the four-poster bed, Walter presses his lips once again to Ruby's mouth. Her hands run up his chest and his arms encircle her back. They withdraw from each other.
You really don't like perfume.
That's just me.
Ruby pulls at the hem of Walter's shirt, which he then removes. Nimble fingers play across his chest as he unfastens the buttons of the woman's opalescent top. The blouse falls away from pale skin and a black brassiere. Walter leans into Ruby, whose back presses against a post. Nimble fingertips play across his shoulders. Again, the lanky fellow inhales the pale woman's scent.
Oh, Christ.
Ruby reaches behind her back, and her brassiere falls away. Walter glances down and sees a purple birthmark that is shaped like a kidney bean below her right breast. Suddenly, he recalls the dream in which he saw this epidermal anomaly. Disregarding this memory, which may or may not be deja vu, Walter presses his hands to Ruby's breasts and squeezes.
Oh, it's been a long time for me.
Same here.
Did you bring any?
Yes.
Ruby unzips her skirt, which falls beside her bare toes, and crawls onto the bed wearing only her black panties. Walter withdraws a strip of three condoms, unzips his jeans, and climbs out of his denim. The pale woman eyes the condoms.
I expected this to happen.
I prayed.
Ruby grins as Walter climbs onto the bed. The wooden frame creaks as he awkwardly maneuvers across the mattress toward his partner and sets the contraceptives aside. Lips press together for another passionate kiss, and the pale woman withdraws.
I can't believe we're moving so fast.
If you want to wait.
No. I don't know why, but I can't.
Again, Walter kisses Ruby. His right hand grips her left arm, and his thigh presses against her pubic mound. Pale knees rise on either side of his leg as she closes her eyes.
It feels like you're ready.
Excessively.
Stimulated anatomies press together. A heavy chest presses against pale, upturned breasts. The lanky fellow slides his free hand underneath black panties.
You too.
Ruby rips a condom wrapper, but Walter shakes his head no.
Why?
Save those for round 2, 3, and 4.
The pale woman reddens as the lanky fellow hooks his fingers around the thin waistband of her underwear and draws the fabric past pale thighs, knees, shins, ankles, and toes. Ruby lies back as Walter lowers his head between her legs and draws the aroma into his nose.
Take your time.
Walter begins his explorations and Ruby shudders. Her gaze turns to the window through which she can see the night sky. Constellations darken, excepting one star that brightens and outshines the rest. Her breathing gets louder. A weird ringing sound fills her ears as she shuts her eyes, arches her back, and yields fully to carnal pleasures. Two used condom wrappers sit on the nightstand. Ruby sleeps in the bed next to Walter, who is wide awake. It has been some time since the pale woman lost consciousness. Giving up on the idea of returning to sleep, the lanky fellow pulls on his boxer shorts, stands up, and stretches. For a moment, he looks about the dark room. A hunk of moonlight sits upon the bookcase, and in this illuminated area, Walter sees the leather-bound book that Ruby was reading in the hammock on the night of the party. Curious, the lanky fellow approaches the shelf and withdraws the tome, the corners of which are gilded. He opens the cover. Inside is an inscription. Remembrances of my early childhood, 1923 to 1928. Walter turns the yellow page and sees the next one, which is covered with dense, immaculate handwriting. At present, he sits beside the luminous window and begins to read.
Been listening to The Narrow Caves, written by S. Craig Zoller, directed by Keith Reynolds, produced by Dallas Saunier and Keith Reynolds, executive producer Will Evans, featuring Wyatt Russell, Lily Simmons, Vincent D'Onofrio, and Will Patton as the narrator, co-starring Hunter Hargrave, Lindsey Graham, Ann Beyer, Sarah Ragsdale, Mike Schrader, Ian Ferguson, Rico Fajardo, Jeannie Tirado, Eric Vail, Jeffrey Schmidt, Aaliyah Tavakolian, John Michael Tatum, Christopher Sabat, and Brandon Potter. Sound design, Foley, and sound mix by Lindsey Graham. Original score by Binary Reptile.
In the next chapter.
She wants me to meet her father and brothers, see where she grew up, that sort of thing.
What? How a guy treats his friends once he's in a relationship shows who he really is.
What?
I'm fine. The tests didn't show anything.
You fell out of bed. Are you okay?
I think so.
Help, Ruby! Ah!
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite shows. Follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fangoria.